Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
The scripture reading before the lesson will be from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Please be seated.
Actually, I thought we might just get everybody to stand up the whole time while I preach. That way we wouldn't have as many people concentrating so deeply. I always use this one, but I was at a congregation. I know this would not happen at this congregation. A congregation as upstanding, moral, honest. I had an elder come up to me after we had eaten a meal like we just ate. Had some fascinating things at the potluck meal, just incidentally. Was it pecan cheesecake? That's next level. That's the next level dessert we got going on. And then I thought I was getting a piece of pork. It was a rice, and I thought pork and something else on it, but it was a bagel. I don't know whose dish that was. I thought, this is a bagel. This is not a piece of pork, and it's delicious. And so I don't know whose bagel rice dish that was, but it was outstanding. And like I said, I was at a congregation, had a potluck meal that was just great, just exactly much like what we just had. And the elder came up to me before my afternoon session, and he said, hey, if you look over at me, I just want you to know that I concentrate with my eyes closed. That's what he said. Concentrated through my whole lesson, you know how that goes. Supposedly, it's the preacher's job to keep you awake. That's not true. The real burden is on you, my friends. That's the real burden. You might have read this story. It's historically true. It's a story that encapsulates for us what I think Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was trying to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You look at about verse 18 and it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book titled The Hiding Place. And in this book, she tells about her family who were trying to help the Jews out, and so they had built a room in their house called the hiding place, that they called it, and they would allow the Jews from various areas to come and hide in that room, and then they would shuffle them out through a system and try to get them away from the Nazis in World War II. And the Gestapo heard about what they were doing, and so captured her and her sister Betsy, and put them through all kinds of indignations and tortures ultimately. And by the end of the book, near the end, they had gone through several concentration camps and had ended up in the Ravensbrück concentration camp for women. And it was renowned at the time for being one of the most deadly and the most vicious places to stay. Most of the women didn't come out of that. And they were in Barracks 28. And Corrie said that her sister Betsy was always the stronger of the two, the more spiritual of the two, and they were working on getting in there, and somehow they had gotten a Bible that they had strapped to the back of Betsy with some straps and had put it right between her shoulder blades so that it didn't show. And they were going through inspection, and it looked like she was about to get caught with that Bible, but something had distracted one of the soldiers, and so they just let her go in. So they had a Bible in Barracks 28. And when they got into Barracks 28, they immediately realized that there was something that was going to be a real problem, because when they stepped in, they had fleas that covered from their knee down, getting bit by fleas all over the place. And Betsy looked over at Corey and said, "We need to be thankful that we are in here with these fleas." And Corey Ten Boom said, "No," said, "No, that is not. I will never be thankful for fleas. I'm never going to be glad that I'm in here with these fleas. Betsy, you can pray and thank God for fleas, but I'm not doing it. I'm not thanking God for fleas." Because she said there was no condition under which she felt like you should ever be thankful for a flea. And Betsy did. Betsy prayed that she was thankful for being in there with the fleas. You ever thank God for fleas? I hate a flea. They hurt. They're nerve-wracking. You can hardly get rid of them. I remember as a kid one time, we went into this place that was infested with some fleas and got them all on us and took them back to our house, and they got in our basement. We had all kinds of problems getting rid of them. Fleas are nasty. You know what they do, what a flea does. A flea is like a tick, except it doesn't give you the painkiller, and so it bites you and takes your blood out of your body, and that's what it lives on. And then you get this big red welt where it bit you. I've never in my life been thankful for a flea. And Corey Ten Boom wasn't either. Until she noticed something. The soldiers at Ravensbrück never wanted to come in Barracks 28. In fact, every night they could gather around Betsy and they could read that Bible and sing and have a worship service and pray. And they were never interrupted by any soldiers. They were not mistreated like other women in the other barracks were. And so as they started putting the pieces together, she realized that the reason that none of the soldiers want to come into this barracks is because we've got fleas. And she said she then looked back at that and realized you can be thankful in every situation. Now, I'd like to qualify the statement that is written there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It doesn't say be thankful for everything. And I think that's actually a very important distinction in what's going on. It says, be thankful in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But it doesn't say that everything about what you're experiencing, you need to be thankful for. And the difference to me there is that while there are some things that aren't right, I don't think you should look at certain situations and say, I'm thankful this person is mistreating this other person, or I'm thankful that this... It's not that you're thankful for everything, but it is that in every situation, you should be able to find something for which to be thankful. You see, because that's when wanting things to change moves into discontentment. When you are in a situation where you personally will not find anything to be and doing something that you can't find a reason to be thankful, I think you've now crossed into discontent and are in a situation that God doesn't want you in. And let me explain to you what I mean. Regardless of what goes on in your life, if you are in the most painful, the most dejected, the most ridiculed, the most betrayed, whatever situation you want to say, can you still say that you're a Christian, that you are looking forward to an eternal life with Jesus Christ, that you can have the peace of Jesus Christ in your heart, and that you're thankful for the promises of eternal life and for getting to be a part of the Lord's church? Absolutely. And so there's no situation in the world that you shouldn't be able to find something to be thankful for. Now, here's what happens. Here's why we get into situations and we can't find things to be thankful for, because we're looking at the wrong things. And what I mean by that is there's a good reason why Satan wants you to think about what you don't have or haven't gotten or what God's not giving you. It's interesting to me when you read the story of Satan tempting Eve. He goes to Eve and he asks this question. It's real subtle. Think about it. He says, has God said that you can't eat of any of the trees of the garden? Now listen to that. Has God told you you can't eat any of the trees of the garden? She said, no. We can eat of every tree of the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's that one tree that Satan then focuses his attention on. Have you thought about how many fruit trees would have been in the Garden of Eden? I don't know about you, but I am a fruit fan. I love fruit. I love all kinds of fruit. I love, you know, a mango. The other day at Kroger, they had five for $5 mangoes, and they're the large mangoes. You get a large mango, and you wait till it gets that little orange-red color, and you peel that thing and cut off some of the slices. The texture of a perfectly ripe mango is fascinating to me. It's almost like kind of a, it's almost a buttery texture, but then it's got a little bit of a crunch to it, and then it's real juicy. A mango is awesome. Now, my favorite fruit in the world is a kiwi that someone else has peeled for me, and I don't have to, because, you know, if you, and I'm not talking like peeled in the little slices. I'm talking about they've peeled the whole thing, so I get the little egg-shaped, perfectly peeled green kiwi that I just get to eat straight. I don't have that little, you know, that little fur on the outside of a kiwi. If you get it on the side of your mouth, it itches, and I don't like that. But boy, you talk about a peeled kiwi. Okay, if you had talked to Eve about all of the fruit that she had gotten to eat in the last week. There's some fascinating fruits. If I go to another country and they have a new fruit, I just get it and try it. Some of them are terrible. Some of them are great. I don't know if you've ever seen a dragon fruit. I was going to buy one at the store the other day, but they're like $20 they're about three times the size of a football. And so I thought, no, I'm not going to buy the whole thing. Well, I went to the Philippines and they had dragon fruit. Okay, so I thought, all right, this is going to be a $2 deal instead of a $20 deal. It's good. And they come in little packets and these little things squish out of them and you eat them. Well, I didn't like them that much. They weren't delicious to me. But I'll try any fruit. Imagine all the fruits that Eve had eaten up to this point. I mean, you're talking apples. The other day I had an apple. You ever had a wild crisp, a wild twist apple? It's a cross between a cosmic crisp and a honey, something, I don't know. But it's real crispy, real sweet, and really good. She's been eating apples, probably oranges, peaches, plums, pears, dragon fruit, breadfruit, kiwis. But what does Satan want her to think about? The one fruit she doesn't get to eat. And when Satan can get you to think about the one thing you don't get, well, here's the thing. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. And so the more you think about that one fruit that you don't get, yeah, why don't I get it? Yeah, why does God not let me have that fruit? You start spiraling into a mental process where you forget all of the other things that God has done for you. You and I both know the truism, the realism, the fact that every good and perfect gift that you've ever gotten, according to James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Are there lots of good things that you have in your life? And if you were in a concentration camp, would you still have some of those? the memories that you have of the family that you love, the promise of eternal life with Jesus Christ, the knowledge of what Jesus Christ did for you to get your sins forgiven, there would be all kinds of things that you would still have that would be worth thanking God for. But what Satan wants you to think about is the fleas. He wants you to think about that one fruit you don't have. He wants you to think about that one kid of yours who's doing something that they're not supposed to do, and that sucks your attention to that one person. He wants you to think about that one person at your job that's irritating you. He wants you to think about that one thing on TV that you know you shouldn't be watching and you're thinking you want to. He wants you to think about what you don't get. And if he can get you to think about what you don't have, well, then he doesn't have to worry about doing anything else. Because now you can't even make yourself think about something that you're thankful for, because all you're thinking about is what you don't have. You know how when you focus on something, it gets bigger? You know, there are some of us that we don't like the way we look. And we look in that mirror, and I don't know, it might be your hair's falling out like some people that I know. Not myself, of course. It might be that you think your nose is a little crooked. Might be that you think your eyes are a little close together, a little too far apart. And you look in the mirror, and all you see, and the first thing you see, and the last thing you see, and all you can think about when you look in the mirror is, I don't like the way I look. You're not thinking about the healthy mind and brain that's in your skull. You're not thinking about the healthy skin that you've got and you don't have leprosy. You're not thinking about the hair that God has blessed you with and it combs great. You're not thinking about, all you're thinking about is the way your nose looks. And you can't be satisfied and happy and content with your looks because you've decided you're going to focus on this one thing. You know, some of us, there is something about our life that's like that, and that's what just keeps coming up. Maybe it's we don't feel like we got enough money. Maybe it's we don't feel like we can get out of the job we're in. Maybe it's we don't feel like we can get out of a relationship that we're in. And all we think about all day long is that. And when our mind sits still and has time to focus on something, it goes back to that every time. You know, it's kind of like buying a new car. You ever started looking for a new car and you decided you're going to buy a new, I don't know, a Highlander? You're going to buy a blue Highlander. And you drive down the road, how many blue Highlanders do you see after you decide you're going to buy a blue Highlander? 27 of them. You didn't know that 27 people in your neighborhood drove blue Highlanders, but you just figured it out because that's what you started focusing on. When you start focusing on blue Highlanders, what do you see everywhere? Blue Highlanders. When you start focusing on what you don't have or what you should have, what you didn't get, what happens? You stop looking at what you do have. And what Satan wants more than anything is for you to stop looking at what you've got. And he wants you to think about what you don't have. How you should look like this and you don't. Or you should have this money and you don't. Or you should have this and you don't. It's not for everything give thanks. It's in everything give thanks. There should not be a situation in your life where even if things are going as sideways as they could go, you don't have a list of, yeah, but here's what I've got going for me. Now, I want to take you to Luke chapter 17. You'll be real familiar with this, I think. Luke chapter 17, you're going to read about some guys who all had a situation that was something that they had been praying about, I'm sure, something they've been thinking about for their entire lives, at least for a certain point on. You look at verse 11, you probably are familiar with some of the symptoms of the disease of leprosy. It was very serious, very painful, in a lot of ways socially debilitating, physically debilitating certainly. Now it happened, verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. What happens when you pray to God for something and he gives it to you? How long does the realization of that gift last to teach you thankfulness? Now, I think what's interesting is Jesus' response to this guy. Keep reading right there. Now, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? What is Jesus' expectation of you when he gives you something good? What was his expectation for all 10 of the lepers that he cleansed? Hey, I'm glad one of you is here, but the question where are the other 9 implies that everybody was supposed to be there. How many times have you thanked God for a safe trip? Hey, you're going on a trip. You're going to go down to Florida. It's going to be an 8-hour trip. One of your kids is going somewhere. They're traveling for spring break. You say, God, please help my child to have a safe trip. When that child has a safe trip, how many times do we forget to thank him for that? Oh, I'm the world's worst. I'll pray for a safe trip and I'll roll up and everything will go great. And I won't even think about saying, God, I prayed for that safe trip. I really appreciate it. A quick question. In your life, how many times have you prayed for something, do you think, that God gave you exactly what you asked for and you never mentioned it again to him? Thousands? That's where I'm at. Now, think about leprosy. Okay, there's a reason that these guys were afar off when they talked to Jesus, when they screamed to Jesus. You remember the rules for the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, lepers couldn't be around people. They could never touch another person that didn't have leprosy. When you were diagnosed with leprosy, when you came out of the social situation, you never got to go back in. You were sent to a leper colony. When you woke up every day, do you know what you watched your body do? Literally fall apart. You know, there'd be a scab on your finger and it'd get bigger and bigger, and within 3 months the top of your finger would be gone. And then within 6 months that whole finger would be gone. And then within 3 years it'd be up to your wrist. You would literally fall apart. Do you think that there was something in their life that was on their mind all the time? What was the one thing they probably thought every single day of their life? If I could just get rid of leprosy. And then boom, all of a sudden, 10 of them get healed of every single, something they've been thinking about most likely every day of their life for the last how many years, something they've been praying about every day of their life for the last how many years, and they didn't even have the wherewithal, didn't even have the whatever it is to thank the God who healed them. You know why? Because they just moved on to something else and forgot that every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. You know what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to be focused on something. And then when God gives you what you ask for, don't even spend any time on that. Just go to the next thing. Now, let's go to the passage that we read about. That was our reading for Philippians chapter 4. You look right there in Philippians chapter 4, all you're talking about verse 8 or so. Let's see what verse it is. Verse 6, rather. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Does God want to hear what your problems are? Absolutely. Absolutely, positively, God wants to hear every single problem you've got. In fact, the text says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. God wants to know what you're thinking. He wants to know what you want to ask Him about. If you are having trouble with the relationship at school, God wants to know about it. If you're having trouble with your relationship with your spouse, God wants to know about it. If you're having trouble with how you're dealing with your kids, God wants to know about it. If you're having trouble with your finances, God wants to hear from you. But notice what He says. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about stuff. Tell God everything. Prayer and supplication. But with thanksgiving. You see, what God wants you to understand is, I want to hear everything that you've got to say. I want you to cast every care on me. And some of those things I'm going to take care of, and some of them I'm not. And when I decide that it's better for you, that I don't change your situation, do not forget all the stuff I've done for you in the past. Because when you can't find anything to be thankful for, it's because you're not looking at what God has done for you in the course of your life. Now, can you imagine? Imagine this. Your kid wants to go to Disney World. And your kid, oh, let's say they're 14, 15, and they say, hey, want to go to Disney World? And you're like, okay, well, we might do that. Keeps coming to you. Hey, can we go to Disney World? Well, hey, we could do that. Gets closer to the summer, the time the kid wants to go. And, hey, I thought we were going to Disney World. I said I want to go to Disney World. We're going to Disney World. Well, we decided not to. What? We're not going to Disney World. You never do anything for me. I can't believe that's all I've ever wanted. Well, hold on. When you were born, I changed every one of your diapers. As the mom says, most of the time, not the husband, maybe some. I fed you. I've taken care of you. I read to you. I sang you to sleep. And you start listing all the stuff that you have done for that kid. You remember the illustration where the mom asked the kid to help with the yard work. And the kid was playing his video game. He didn't feel like helping. He was about 7 years old. But she kept insisting. So he said, okay, fine. So he does the yard work. And then he writes out a receipt. Puts it on her plate for dinner. And says, picking up sticks, $1. Carrying the sticks to the driveway, $1. Putting all the tools back, $1. You owe me $3. She looked at it. Put it in her pocket. Waited till the next day. He sits down for breakfast. There's a list. It's at his plate. Gave birth to you. $0. Fed you for the last 7 years of your life. $0. Took care of you when you were sick and cleaned all the places you puked. She said a little nicer than that, but $0. Just kept going down the list. Hers was about 5 times as long as his. And at the end, she said, you owe me $0. Because I love you. Okay, when we approach God and say, do this for us. I hope we say it nicer than that. But lots of times we look up at God and we say, hey, well, I thought you were supposed to do this. And we get discontent and we get unthankful because God doesn't do what we ask Him to do right then. And it's, what have you done for me lately? When we go to God, He says, I want to hear everything about you. But remember when you approach me that you need to be thankful. Because thanksgiving is what puts your request into perspective. And it's what helps you be content when I choose not to give you what you want because it's better for you. The solution to discontentment and to complaining is thanksgiving. And the more you can look at this life and say, I'm thankful for, and you can start listing stuff, the more your life will be better. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. I've got a couple guys that I use these illustrations in several lessons that I do. It just so happens that it fits perfectly in this. Friend of mine from Freed Hardeman, when we were there, this guy was an outstanding student. He was in our Greek class. He knew all of the answers in Greek. He made the rest of us freshmen look like we didn't study much, which we might not have as much as he did, but he was just a stellar student, just outstanding. You know, basically, I don't know what his grades were, but if I had to say, it was 100 on everything. He was blind. And when he was in high school, he was at a summer camp. And at this summer camp, they would take a junior-senior walk. And on the junior-senior walk, you would let the seniors talk. And as the seniors talked, they would say things that they were thankful for. And so they would say things like, hey, I'm thankful for our youth group. Thankful for my youth minister. Thankful for my parents. Thankful for my friends. And as it kept getting closer to David, who was blind, they wondered what David, the blind senior, was going to say. You know, if you're blind and haven't seen a sunset, you don't know what colors look like. I was thinking about things that I would miss if I was blind. You know what I love to do? 4th of July fireworks. You can hear fireworks. It's a big difference between hearing a firework and seeing one, isn't it? So I think everyone was surprised when they got to David and he said, I'm thankful that I'm blind because I see things that other people don't see. Do you think if you were blind, that you would have the spiritual understanding and fortitude to in everything give thanks? He did. And when I talked to him about that, he said, oh, don't get me wrong. He said, I wish I wasn't blind. He said, I wouldn't choose it. It's not what I would pick. But I do think because I am blind, I do have an understanding of things that I wouldn't have if I wasn't. Another friend of mine, his name is Terry Purdom, lives down in Texas. I talked to him years ago when I went to do a seminar down there and had to touch base back with him. The last time I kind of touched base with him, he was in the hospital, was going to be staying in the hospital for 30 days. You ever been in the hospital for 30 days? I think I might have spent 2 days in a hospital ever. Certainly not 30 at a time. And I was talking to him about his time there in the hospital. He said, oh, hey, things are going well. I've got all kinds of the church that's come visit me. They bring me all kinds of reading material and games. And they're taking great care of me. Really encouraged by how much the church has come in to visit. He's in the hospital for 30 days because years ago, he was diagnosed with bone cancer. When they diagnosed him with bone cancer, he was not living faithfully. His mom, who was a strong Christian, had prayed for him for years and years. He had gotten into the military at 18, had been out of the Lord's church for probably, oh, I think at the time it was about 20, 25 years or so. And he said three things happened to him all at once. He said he had a six-figure job. Said he walked into that six-figure job, and at the time, this was back in the early 80s, I think, and he said they fired him, which was a blow. But he had just gone in to, he wasn't feeling good, gone into the hospital, and they had diagnosed him with a bone cancer that when he asked, how long do I have, they said, oh, you might live 6 months, you might live 6 years, we don't know. And within 2 weeks, his mom, the only person that really kept up with him and cared about his situation, passed away. So he said he loses his mom, loses his job, and gets diagnosed with bone cancer. Do you know that he says that he is so thankful to God for his bone cancer? Because it caused him to realize that what he was doing in his life was not valuable and he needed to change his priorities and get back right with God. And he'll tell you to this day that he is thankful to God for bone cancer. Now, can you be thankful in every situation? Yeah. Now, I don't think you can be thankful for everything, but I think you can be thankful in everything. And the more you look at what you're thankful for, the less you let Satan see, you let Satan get you focused on what you don't have. Now, I'm going to tell you what you've got this afternoon. I want you to look at it real close. You are sitting in a free country, in a pleasantly atmosphere-controlled building by people who love you and want the very best for you, in a country where you get to worship how you want. You are reading a text from the Bible that God preserved at the cost of thousands of people's lives to get it to you in English. You've been encouraged by people in your life to read it. I recently just got back from a place where I was doing a seminar. A lady came up to me and she said, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and she was not old. And she said, I was never encouraged to read my Bible, and I was discouraged from reading it. And you have just heard a lesson on thankfulness that's coming straight from the book. God inspired. Text from the New Testament. And you have an opportunity right this afternoon that if you are not a Christian, you could have every one of your sins forgiven and walk out of this room and know you're going to heaven. But Satan doesn't want you to think about that stuff. Think about what you didn't get to do this afternoon, or what you don't have going on in your life, or how your spouse doesn't do what you want him or her to do, or how your job is not what you... And he wants you to think about all the stuff you don't have, so that you can't be thankful in the situations you're in. I'll tell you what I am. I am thankful that I've gotten to be with you this morning and this afternoon, and that I've got a relationship with the West Huntsville Church of Christ, because I think you are a godly group of people who's trying to do God's will. And there might be some of you in here who need to fall at the throne of God and repent of your unthankfulness and say, I'm sorry, I should have been here earlier, but thank you for what I've got. Is there anything you need to do to reinvigorate your relationship with God and be thankful in every situation? And if there's something that we can do, that the leadership of this congregation can do to help you do that, don't wait another minute. Let this afternoon be the afternoon that you refocus your spiritual condition and get right with your God, as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.